glance now at that great writer, Scobie Breasley, anxious perhaps as his Mount Charlottetown was led away to be reshot. What a day for the Derby. But despite it all, the excitement mounted as starting time drew near. And well it might, for with nearly £74,500 to be won, it was the richest ever race in England. At last, all preliminaries were over. At the tapes, hardly any trouble. Down the hill towards Tattenham Corner. It was still Right Noble and St. Puckle leading. Black Prince going well in fourth place. It was an epic struggle now. Black Prince strongly challenged the leaders. Sodium took second place. And on the rails, Scobie Breasley had Charlottetown going beautifully. And now Paul Cook made a great effort on Pretendre and took him a shade in front of Charlottetown. Less than a furlong to go now. Pretendre just in front on the outside. On the rails, Charlottetown accelerated. What a tremendous finish. Charlottetown just made it from Pretendre. Black Prince third, Sodium fourth. Yes, it was their day. Scobie Breasley, Charlottetown, and trainer Gordon Smythe. Scobie was where it is every jockey's ambition to be on Derby Day, in the unsaddling enclosure, as winner of the greatest race in the world.
Oh, what a wonderful piece that was on the 1966 English Derby, won by Charlottetown, ridden by Australian champion jockey Scobie Breasley. And yesterday's announcement that Geordie Childs has lost the ride of her surprise baby revived memories of many jockeys who have lost big moments and the chances to win big races. And that was a pivotal moment in the career of Australian legend, Hall of Famer Ron Hutchinson, who joins me this morning at age 92, fighting fit to relive what was a distressing moment in his career. Good morning, Ron. How are you, mate?
Oh, good morning, Michael. Yeah, as fit as a fiddle, as a matter of fact. Thank you very
much. So good to hear. Hey, did listening to that bring back memories of 1966 what should have been?
It certainly did, Mike. Yeah, I certainly did. It brought back a lot of memories. For me, it was very disappointing at the time. But look, it's in the page. Just turning a page in the book of life when I look back on it. So, but it was very interesting at the time.
So you're over in the UK as one of the best jockeys in the world with fellow Australian Scobie Breasley, and you were on the favourite in the Derby, Charlottetown. Tell us the story. What happened?
Oh, yes, Michael. I can remember it very, very well. Charlottetown was a very, very good two-year-old, and he was trained by Towser Gosden as a two-year-old, and Towser Gosden became sick, and my trainer that I was retained by, Gordon Smythe, took over the stable of Towser, and, of course, naturally, I was the his jockey, and when it came into coming up into the 3 year old, he had developed unfortunately sort of hoof problems, and he wasn't training all that well. Anyway, in the first, he's running the first season, running for the season in the Lingfield Derby trial. I rode him, and I got too far back on him, and I came home 100 mile an hour, and I just failed to get up to beat a horse called Black Prince. However, you know, it was a great run and a very, very good run. And the crowd, of course, when I got beat, they weren't very happy about it, and they booed and carried on a bit. So anyway, that was all over on that particular day. But as it got closer to the Derby, it was only about a week out from the Derby, I got a call from Sir Harold Werner, the owner of the horse. And the conversation went like this. He said, Hutchinson, he said, we've come to the unanimous opinion that you don't get on with the horse and you won't be riding him in the Derby. And he hung up on me. And I never had time to give an explanation or anything like that. And, of course, I was devastated. I was, oh, what am I going to do? I've lost the favourite in the Derby. I'll ring for Scobie and I'll give him a ring and see what he thought. Anyway, I rang old Scobie. Next thing I said, Scobie, what do you think they've done to me? He said, yes. He said, I know. He says, and I'm riding him in the Derby. Well, Michael, I was devastated. Anyway, of course, as it went on, the next the week later, of course, the horse won the Derby. And I rode a horse, 100-1 chance, called Splice the Maid Brace in the race. And, of course, it finished down the right track. But the unfortunate thing for me is the time, too. I had been riding the second horse, Patron, in the as a two-year-old, and he was a very good two-year-old. And the owner, Mr. Lilly, had thought he'd bothered me to ride him in a Derby, but because I was retained by Gordon and his owners, I couldn't ride Patron. So I could have ridden the first or the second in the race. But anyway, it was just one of those things, and it was very unfortunate for me, but never mind. Those things happen, and I feel sorry for young Jordan, because he'll get over it, so it's no really big deal.
Oh, he'll have many more big rides to come, Geordie. But how were you and Scobie? What was your reaction when Scobie told you, your great mate, that he's taken your ride?
Well, yeah, naturally, I was devastated. I didn't expect it at all that Scobie would. I thought that that one of the English jockeys would have ridden him. But anyway, Scobie rode him. And I was pleased that Scobie rode him, because I wasn't going to ride him in the Derby, and they'd made up their minds. And of course, Scobie rode him and gave him a great ride and won the Derby. So it was a chance that I had of winning the Derby, but unfortunately, those things happen, don't they?
Did Scobie at least take you out for dinner?
No. We didn't have to wait. He had a bit of a party. We had a bit of a party, but I didn't enjoy myself, because I'll tell you that.
Well, it shows it's been a cutthroat business, horse racing, for decades.
It has. That's racing, Michael, isn't it? These things happen, and it'll happen again too in the future. Some jockey will be jumped off another horse that looks like winning. So it's just, as I say, that's racing, isn't it?
Well, a remarkable career you had here and all around the world. Ascot Gold Cup, Goodwood Cup, St. Ledger, 1,000 Guineas, as well as all the local races as well, and inducted into the Australian Hall of Fame in 2005. Ron, you were sounding amazing. You still follow racing?
Oh, very much so, Michael, yes. Oh, yeah, unfortunately, at the moment, I'm locked in, as we all are. But it's got a bit disappointing and just a bit boring, but before all this all happened, I used to go to the races every Saturday and meet my friends there and have a good talk. And I still enjoy it very much, and I follow it frequently. And I really do enjoy racing. It's very good. To put it this way, Michael, racing has been very good to me over the years, and I've met a lot of wonderful people, and it's been a pleasure to be associated with, really.
Well, Ron, you're a living legend, a treasure of Australian racing, and it's great to catch up this morning. Appreciate your time.
It's good to talk to you, Michael. It's great, yeah.
Well, we'll do it again. I'd love to go back and relive some of those great memories that are such massive parts of Australian and world racing. Ron, stay safe, mate.
Thank you. It's great, mate, Michael. We look forward to that.
Good on you, Ron.